But today I like to talk about gratitude, and gratitude or thankfulness is in fact a rare quality. And sometimes it's difficult to give a sermon on thankfulness if events take place which make you a little bit upset, is perhaps not the right word, but you know, unhappy about certain events, specifically when you come to a hotel, let's say, in general terms, and look forward to a room you had reserved and you don't get that room. And the room you do get is not the room which you really like because it has all kinds of problems. And so anyway, your attitude might be tested. It never happens to us, of course. We would far beyond that kind of a situation. But still, gratitude, thankfulness is something, as we will see today, which God commands. And it is a rare quality. It's very rare. Before I go into some scriptures, I like to talk about gratitude in general. What does it do in general? I have an interesting article from Arbeits ABC. If you would translate, that would be something like Work ABC. And they say, amongst other things, the following. Grateful people experience less stress, which makes them happier and less likely to develop depression. Grateful people cope better with changes in life and express more general satisfaction with their life situation and their social relationships. Gratitude has a positive effect on the health of the heart. It lowers the risk of a heart attack. Now, these are some scientific concepts people have come up with. Here's another article stating this. Grateful people have a better attitude, are more loving, more relaxed, healthier, more optimistic, more energetic, more sporty, and experience less pain. Daily gratitude leads to a positive mood and openness towards other people. Love and compassion are the focus, with less envy, competition, fear, or anger. Now, in this sermon today, tonight, maybe a long night, hopefully not that long, if you start nodding in agreement, I know it's time to stop, but tonight, I don't want to be too concerned with the benefits of gratitude for ourselves and others when it comes to physical beneficial concepts. I like to talk about biblical commands, and the biblical command is, in fact, to be grateful in what situation you might be. And I like to look at some very specific examples, because the Bible does tell us a lot about gratitude and tells us also to what extent and to whom we must be grateful. And you might be surprised what the scriptures all have to say about that. Let's start with a very basic one in Philippians chapter 4. Now, once I have reached the two-hour mark, please let me know. Philippians chapter 4, and I start in verse 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now notice the connection here. It says if we are praying to God with thanksgiving, then we will have peace. Now the opposite is true as well. Notice Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you also were called in one body, and be thankful. So here we have the peace of God, and it leads to thankfulness, which then leads to more peace. And notice also verse 17. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God, the Father, through him. So here we have a command to thank God for everything we do. And of course, we are supposed to do it through Jesus Christ living in us, because he directs us, he guides us. Are we thankful for that? Are we thankful for the fact that Jesus Christ lives in us, that he guides us, that he directs us? Well, let's go a step further and ask the question, do we thank God for creating us in the first place? You know, that may be a very general concept, but do you thank God that you exist? And especially that you are in God's church, knowing the truth. Let's notice Psalm 139. Psalm 139. And let's look at verse 14. Here David is saying, I will praise you. Now, in the Hebrew, the word praise and thanks is the same. So you can actually translate here, I will thank you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. So David looked at himself and noticed that he was an interesting creation, that he was, in comparison to, let's say, animals, quite different. And so he thanked God for that, that he was wonderfully made, that he was marvelously made. Now, do we do that too? Do we thank God the Father for, that's another very important subject and concept, for giving his only begotten Son for us, so that we may inherit eternal life? Are we grateful that Jesus Christ was willing to die for you and me? And how often do we thank God for that? Notice Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22, and let's read verses 19 and 20. This was at the Passover event, when he changed the symbols from eating a lamb to partaking of bread and wine, and of course gave those symbols a special meaning. But how did he introduce these symbols, which he then gave to his disciples? Verse 19, and he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Likewise, in other words, also giving thanks, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is a new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. So he introduced his death to the disciples. He introduced the fact that these symbols would stand for his suffering, would stand for his death, and he thanked God for it, that he was able to do that for you and for me. Do we thank God for who he is, what he is? Because, you see, we are not worshiping a God who is cruel, who demands animal and now today, of course, we're talking about human sacrifices. And even when it came to the animal sacrifices, there was a purpose for that. But this was temporary. But we are not praying to a God who is a God of war, who wants us to go out and kill and hurt and maim other people. Now let's notice how God is described in Psalm 100, verses 4 and 5. Psalm 100, verses 4 and 5. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him, and bless his name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. He is a God of love. He is a God of mercy. He is a God of truth. He never lies. We can rely on what he tells us, on what he promises us. Are we thanking God for the fact that he is a God of love and of mercy and of forgiveness and of truth? Today, we might be in a bad situation, right? We might have experienced all kinds of bad circumstances. And now, in this regard, let's notice a scripture which at first sight might be very difficult to swallow. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 20. But when we are in a situation which we don't like, let's sit back, let's think, let's meditate a little bit. Ephesians 5 and verse 20. We are supposed to give thanks always for all things. For all things to God the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Giving thanks to God for everything what may occur to us. You know, there's a very famous example in the book of Daniel. Let's turn to Daniel chapter 6. Daniel, as well as all the others, were commanded not to pray to God. And these wicked, evil advisors of the king influenced him to make such a decree. And so we read in Daniel chapter 6 and in verse 6. Daniel 6, 6. So these governors and satraps thronged before the king and said thus to him, King Darius, live forever. All the governors of the kingdom, the administrators, the satraps, the counselors, advisors, have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whoever petitions any god or man for 30 days, except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing so that it cannot be changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which doesn't alter. And therefore, King Darius signed the written decree. So nobody was supposed to pray to God except they were supposed to pray to the king. Now, when Daniel, verse 10, knew that the writing was signed, he went home and in his upper room, with his windows open toward Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees three times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since early days. Even in a situation like that, where his life was in danger and he would be thrown into the lion's den, he didn't cease to pray and to thank God. Thank God for this situation because it enabled him to obey God in spite of what man was telling him. Notice Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 2. Again, a very famous passage. Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Continue or persevere in prayer with thanksgiving. See, thanksgiving is so important. Of course, if you thank God, then of course you have an attitude of thanksgiving, of gratitude, obviously. We know, should we not know that? Nothing happens to us that is against God's will. Whatever circumstance, whatever situation we might find ourselves in, we should understand that God knows about it. God didn't stop it. See, we are not subject to time and chance. It's not like, oh, we happen to be at the wrong place at the wrong time. No, God knows about it. God could have stopped it. God didn't stop it. The question is why? We know that we are in God's hands. All things, as we read, work for our best when we love God and keep his commandments. And that is the reason why we can be thankful for everything, because we know that God is in charge. God is there to strengthen us. God is there to help us. God is there to give us an opportunity to become more perfect, to become more qualified for his kingdom. I know in situations when things go wrong, it's difficult to sometimes sit back and to meditate on that and to remember that and to say to yourself, now, wait a minute, God allows this, why? And how should I act and react? Because of this, we can thank God for everything that happens to us, and happens to us is already kind of a bad term, which God allows to occur, whether it's good Oh, but that's bad. Notice in 1 Thessalonians where another aspect is mentioned, in addition to being thankful to God for everything. Here is another concept revealed in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and in verse 18. It says in verse 16, rejoice always, so that's tonight. That's throughout the entire feast. Rejoice always. Verse 17, pray without ceasing. Again, the same concept. Be persistent in prayer. Here comes verse 18. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So it's not only thanking God for everything, it's also thanking God in whatever circumstance you might find yourself. Thanking Him. The German Schlachter Bible says, be thankful in all things. And they make the following notation. Ingratitude is a trait of the unbeliever. Now, I thought that was an interesting comment. Ingratitude is a trait of an unbeliever. We most certainly don't want to fall into that category. The dire events of today have been prophesied, are prophesied, and they must come true. They must come true so that Christ can come back to this earth. And the sooner these terrible events occur, the sooner Christ can come back. So even how bad these things are, on the one hand, they are necessary for Christ's return on the other hand. So we can look from that standpoint as well. And we also know that Christ has said that he would cut short those days. For whom? For the elect's sake, for you and for me. Now, how thankful ought we to be to Christ that because of us, think about it, those terrible days will be shortened. And Christ prophesied that, and God has decreed that to happen. You see, God didn't remove us from this world. We still live in this corrupt world, this evil, rotten world. A world which is, of course, ruled by incompetent or worse, politicians. We know that. But God hasn't removed us from this world because he wants us to show to him how obedient we are to him. In whatever circumstance we are and find ourselves in, we should, we not always do that, but we should keep our godly demeanor. We shouldn't seek vengeance. We shouldn't seek retribution, even when evil happens to us. But on the other hand, we should thank God for the opportunity to respond properly, which will help us to move towards perfection. So you can look at things in a positive and in a negative way. Why is this happening? Oh, because everybody hates me. Or because God allows the situation to show to him how willing I am to follow him. Of course, sometimes this does include training, temporary discipline by God to turn ourselves from sin to him. We find an interesting passage in Isaiah chapter 12, and first I'd like to read it from the New King James Bible, but I think it's not translated the best there. But let me just read it first from that passage, or from that translation here. In Isaiah chapter 12 and verse 1, and in that day you will say, O Lord, I will praise you, or I will thank you. Though you were angry with me, your anger is turned away, and you comfort me. Now, when you turn to the old Luther translation of 1984, or going back even further to 1964, that's how it's translated there. I thank you, Lord, that you were angry with me, and that your anger has turned, and that you comfort me. Because here, a whole process is being described. Yes, I understand. You had to be angry with me because of the way I acted or reacted. But then I thank you that you not only were angry with me, but your anger turned away from me, and now you're comforting me in this situation. And that shows us again how we can thank God in all things, whether they're good or they are bad. At the same time, we can be grateful, should be grateful, that Christ will come back soon, and I mean soon, to establish the government of God here on earth and to end the rule of sinners. And we find many passages, but one is in Psalm 104. And notice verse 35. May sinners be consumed from the earth, and the wicked be no more. Bless the Lord. Thank the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Praise the Lord. For that reason, that Christ is going to return and make an end to sinners, sinful rulers, to govern this earth. That's another thing to be thankful for. Now that's to the future, understand? But it's something to look forward to. Now, to become more specific, there are many good things we can thank God for. I'd like to just give a few. We have already read earlier that we should enter his gates with thanks. We read that in Psalm 100 and verse 4. Well, looking at it tonight, are we thankful? Are we grateful that we still can keep the Feast of Tabernacles here or wherever the people of God do it? Despite all opposition, despite all attempts by Satan to prevent it, and he has been very anxious to prevent, if not the church to do it, individuals from doing it. But some have been very consistent, and I see some sitting here in front of me, very consistent to be here, and persistent, I should say. But Satan has tried everything he could to stop him. Are we thankful to God that he has allowed us to be here and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles? Are we thankful that we can attend services? And I mean every service, to hear God's word and to have fellowship with our brethren on a daily basis. Notice 1 Chronicles chapter 23. 1 Chronicles chapter 23 and in verse 27 we read something David did. 1 Chronicles 23 and verse 27. For by the last words of David, the Levites were numbered from 20 years old and above, verse 30, to stand every morning to thank and praise the Lord, and likewise at evening. So they were there to thank God for being in services, 20 years and older, not that old. So they were instructed to do so, and they did. Are we thankful that we can attend services, that we can listen to God's word? Are we thankful that we can sing hymns to God like we have just done earlier today, and like we do again at the end of this service, and of course as we do every service? How thankful are we that we can sing hymns, that we even have hymns to sing? Notice 2 Chronicles chapter 5. 2 Chronicles chapter 5 and notice verse 13. Indeed, it came to pass, when the trumpeters and singers were as one, to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord, and when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music, and praised the Lord, saying, For he is good, for his mercy endures forever, that the house of the Lord, was filled with a cloud. God was present. God is present tonight through His Spirit. We should always remember that when we have a service, God is present. We should also remember that possibly we cannot see them because they're invisible to the human eye. Angels are right here amongst us. Think about that. What about that? So again, we should be thankful that we have this understanding, that we have this knowledge, and also that this is a strong possibility. Because we read that angels are even desirous to find out, to hear from the Church of God certain things which were otherwise hidden from them. Notice Psalm 147. Psalm 147 and verse 7. When we sing hymns, is that our attitude? Sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praises on the harp to our God. I recently gave a sermon to our German brethren, and I made a comment regarding, you know, some people just sing the hymns like very casually. Then I kind of tried to imitate that, and some joker, you know, took that very short portion, and then he sent that to everybody, you know, and of course it sounded kind of funny, but it's still a valid point. I mean, when we sing the hymns, we should most certainly think in terms of what we sing, and that we are singing those hymns to God. These are psalms to praise God. And so we are singing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Notice also Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. See, not only singing with our mouth, but also at the same time singing our hearts, knowing full well what we are singing and that we are singing praises to God with thanksgiving. And that's something we should be doing. Again, I like to ask the question, are we grateful that God is present with us, with our services today through His Holy Spirit when we praise and thank Him? There are many passages I'd like to turn to now, at least some of them, to bring out a very important point as to who we should be thankful for. And again, it's something, you know, we might even take that for granted. We might even overlook this, perhaps. Or when we pray, we don't even mention it. But notice 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 3. Notice how many times Paul is doing this. Here's the Apostle Paul, who had a lot to fight for. In 2 Thessalonians 1 and verse 3, he says, "We are bound, we are obligated to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting, because your faith grows exceedingly and the love of every one of you all abounds toward each other." So he thanked God for the brethren. Paul thanked God for you. Today, we are thanking God for you. Now we also will see it goes both ways, but I just want to emphasize this point. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13 and 14, 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 13. Again, we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth to which He called you by our gospel for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this all by itself is a sermon on its own. What's he all saying? God has preordained you to be called in this day and age, now today. For what purpose? To obtain the glory of God. Now, if that is not anything to be thankful for, I don't know what there is. But Paul is saying, we are thanking God for you, that He has called you, preordained you, predestined you to be called for salvation in this day and age. Notice Romans chapter 1 and verse 8. Romans chapter 1 and verse 8. First, Paul is saying, first, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. And we are thanking God for our brethren, that they are strong in the faith, for the select ones, because of whom those terrible days will be shortened. Notice Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 and 16. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 and 16. Therefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. So you heard all the beautiful characteristics of the brethren, the love for each other. And so he thanks God for that. Now notice one more passage, well, two more passages in this regard. Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 to 6. Philippians 1, verses 3 to 6. Again, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making request for you all with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident. Well, it's a weak translation. Being absolutely, completely, totally convinced is what he's saying, because he saw the way they lived. Being convinced of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. But Paul is thanking God for the brethren and for this process. What a remarkable statement. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. Now he says we. It's not only Paul, it's also those who have been working with him. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor, and love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of our God and Father. Again and again, Paul is thanking God for the brethren. Chapter 2 and verse 13. 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 13. For this reason, we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe. So he thanked God for many things here. He thanked God for the brethren who accepted the fact that the preaching was not the preaching of men, but it was the preaching of God, that God had inspired the ministry to say those words, and that they accepted and understood that, and that they were not starting to argue about it and coming up with all kinds of different ideas. It's very beautiful to thank God for that harmony which we can have. So do we thank? That's a question then. Do we thank God consistently and persistently for the members of the Church of God? And let me be specific. For the members of the Church of the Eternal God, for the members of the Global Church of God, for the members of the Church of God, a Christian fellowship in Canada. Do we, for the Kirche des Ewigen Gottes in Germany, do we thank God for those members who want to walk in God's way of life and who are walking God's way of life? And because of that, Satan is very angry, very busy, trying very hard to persuade people to leave that path. Notice Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7, and notice verses 24 and 25. Because Paul also thanked God for something else. And that's what we all should do. That's what we all must do. Because Paul was a human being like you and I are human beings. Fallible, flesh and blood, weak, able to sin. Romans chapter 7, verse 24. Oh, wretched man that I am. He apparently had just sinned about something. We don't know exactly what it was. He was disgusted with himself. Who will deliver me from this body of death? Who will stop me from sinning, going this wrong way of life? Not that he was going a wrong way of life, but I mean sometimes he would slip, fall. Here's the answer, verse 25. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. In other words, who will deliver me from the body of death? It's going to be God. But he's going it through Jesus Christ. So then he says, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. So I have to be delivered from that, and God will do it. Are we thanking God that he will give us the strength, that he will help us? We slip, we fall, but he will be raising us up when we want him to do that. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me, because he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. And those of us who are ministers should be able to say that too, that God has put us into the ministry, has enabled us to fulfill that job. Although, verse 13, I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, an insolent man. We might not have been a persecutor in the way that we literally killed other Christians, but we might have very well done all kinds of evil things, right? But he goes on to say, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And once he became converted, he went the right way of life. And then he preached, and then he proclaimed the gospel. And he thanks God for that, that he was able and enabled to do that. But he is not only thanking God for himself. Notice what he is saying in Romans chapter 6, verses 17 and 18. Romans 6, verse 17. But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, that's all of you, all the brethren, everyone, a slave of sin. Thanks be to God that you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered, and having been set free from sin, became slaves of righteousness. So Paul is thanking God for that, that the brethren had been freed from sin and have been brought to the way of righteousness. But not only that. When it comes to the brethren, notice what we read in Acts chapter 28. Because ultimately it boils down to this. We all need each other. That's something very important to keep in mind. We need each other to be comforted, to be strengthened, to be helped. Acts chapter 28 and verse 15. And from there, when the brethren heard about us, they came to meet us as far as Appii Forum and Three Inns. When Paul saw them, he thanked God and took courage. He thanked God that God had brought the brethren to him, and he took courage in that fact, and that they were there to give him courage and confidence. In Colossians chapter 1, we also find what brethren should do. We all should do, for that matter. Colossians chapter 1, verses 11 and 12. Again, he is thanking God that he would strengthen us with all might, according to his glorious power, all patience and long-suffering with joy. Verse 12, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints and light. Again, the same concept we read about earlier. giving thanks to God that he is qualifying us. So this includes all of us. And as I said so many times before, nobody needs to walk away from this way of life. When God calls us to this way of life, he knows that we can make it, that we can stay truthful and faithful towards it. And so therefore, Paul is giving God thanks for that. Notice also Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 to 8. Colossians 2 and verse 6. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with what? Thanksgiving. Abounding in it with thanksgiving. Being thankful to God on a continued basis that we are privileged to know this way of life and to live it and to know what it all means and what the potential is and what we can inherit and what we will inherit. And when we have these terrible occurrences in our physical life, let's sit back, let's think about, now wait a minute, what is in store for us ultimately? Why is this happening? We perhaps don't know, except to know that God allows it for a reason, obviously. But is it that important, frankly, in light of what is in store for all of us? How grateful are we that God has called us out of this world? That God has opened up our minds, that he has offered us his kingdom, offered us a possibility to be God, a God being in a few years from now. Think about that one. Notice 2 Corinthians chapter 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14. And especially during this feast this year, and who knows how many feasts we still can celebrate. Let us be very, very thankful for what we can do, what we are able to do this year. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14. It says, now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ through us, diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. Diffuses, the annotation has here, manifests. In other words, he manifests through us the fragrance of his knowledge. Now, again, when I look at a translation from the old Luther Bible, 1964, it's translated this way. But thank God, who always gives us victory in Christ and reveals the smell of his knowledge through us in all places. In other words, the way we live, what we do, what we say, how we act should reflect God's knowledge. It should be manifested in all places. That's a high calling. That's something we should be thinking about. Now, let me also make one point. The brethren should pray for the ministry. I mean, this goes without saying, but perhaps it should be said. The brethren should pray for the ministry. The brethren should pray for the minister's protection, for the minister's strength, and they should be thankful to God for them. Now, these are not necessarily my words, because notice what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 9 to 11. Here Paul was in a very dire and serious situation. Look what he is saying here. Yes, we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a death and does deliver us, in whom we trust that he will still deliver us, you also helping together in prayer for us. You're helping together in prayer for us that thanks may be given by many persons on our behalf for the gift granted to us through many. It's talking about protection. It's talking about thankfulness. It's talking about the fact that we all pray for each other. And here in particular, Paul was in a very difficult situation. The brethren prayed for him. And God was very thankful about it. We also read this in Romans chapter 15. Now, I'm not telling you anything new, I'm sure, but these are things we sometimes should remember and reflect on, because in this busy life we have, we might sometimes forget that. Romans 15, verse 30. Romans 15 and verse 30. Now I beg you, brethren, through the Lord Jesus Christ, and through the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in prayers to God for me, that I may be delivered from those in Judea who do not believe, and that my service for Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints, that I may come to you with joy by the will of God, and may be refreshed together with you. Now the God of peace be with you all. Amen. So again and again, there's nothing wrong for us to sometimes quote these scriptures and to say, please, brethren, pray for us. We need your prayers. We need your prayers for strength, for help, for encouragement, and also for the fact that we want to do God's will. And sometimes we may not always know what God's will is, and so we need God's intervention and God's inspiration. And you can help by praying for us. Now, what else should we pray for? What else should we say thank for? What about 1 Timothy chapter 4? 1 Timothy chapter 4, beginning in verse 1. Here's a warning, first of all. It says, the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. We know the truth, that is, we are not to eat unclean meat. But we also know the truth, that is, that we can eat clean meat because that is something God has created for consumption, but we should do it with thanksgiving. And people get all mixed up on that one. Some say you shouldn't eat any meat. Others say you can eat whatever meat you want to eat. No, we have to be thankful for the fact that we know the truth and that we can thank God for food he has created for consumption. We should be thankful that we don't have to go hungry. How many times do we thank God for that? In Matthew chapter 15, here we see a miracle which God has done, Jesus Christ did, through the power of the Holy Spirit of the Father in him. And how many times may something like that have happened to us? Not that in this particular regard, but we might suddenly have received blessings we didn't expect. Matthew 15, verse 35. He commanded the multitude to sit down on the ground. And he took the seven loaves and the fish and gave thanks, broke them and gave them to his disciples, and the disciples gave to the multitude. And they all ate and were filled, and they took up seven large baskets full of fragments that were left. The point is, he gave thanks before he passed out by a miracle these provisions, you know, of food and of fish. See, God cares for us in physical matters as well. Sometimes we may not always understand that or understand the fact that if we have food on our table, it is because God allows us that we have food on our table, that God wants us to have food on our table. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. A very famous scripture, of course, we know, but here let's look at this in this context. Christ says, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, body more than clothing? And then how does he continue? In verse 33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. It's a promise. God says, I will see to it that you have enough to eat. You don't go hungry. Psalm 145. Psalm 145, verses 15 and 16. The eyes of all look expectantly to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. As God says, as Christ says, when God even feeds the sparrows or ravens, how much more will he feed his people? Amazing, if you think about it. God literally feeds animals. You know, don't ask me how he does it. All I know that he does do it, because that's what the Bible clearly shows. Also notice Psalm 55 and verse 22. Psalm 55 and verse 22. Cast your burden on the Lord. How many times do we do that? How many times are we trying to solve our problems with our own might and strength and our own reasoning and our own thought processes, rather than casting our burden on the Lord, and he shall sustain you. And notice, he shall never permit the righteous to be moved. And you can later look at 1 Peter 5 and verse 7, where this passage is quoted in slightly different wording. What about children? We have lots of children here today, don't we? What are you thankful for? Are you thankful for something which Paul, the Apostle Paul, talks about in 1 Timothy chapter 5? Oh, no, Mr. Link, don't bring that one up, all right? 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 4. Because, see, my parents tell me that all the time. 1 Timothy 5 and verse 4. It says, if any widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show piety at home and to repay their parents, for this is good and acceptable before God. Now again, another better translation is, let the children be grateful to their parents. I know, we parents, I have been a parent, still a parent, I guess. I'm also a grandfather now. My mother would, if she would still be alive, be a great-grandmother. We didn't do everything right. Nobody being a parent knows that or says that we did everything right. But we tried the best, right? So our parents, looking back at my times, they did a lot for me. Well, they weren't infallible. They made mistakes. I most certainly made mistakes. I dare to say that my son makes mistakes, that my daughter makes mistakes, talking about what they have to deal with. But we do want the best for our children, don't we? And as children, do you understand that? Do you understand that your parents want the best for you, even though you might grow a little bit older, become a teenager, see things differently a little bit, might not quite see it that way? Nevertheless, do you show gratitude? Do you show thankfulness to your parents for what your parents have been doing for you? It's something which is well-pleasing to God. What about our spouse? Are we thankful for our spouse, for the fact that God has given us the spouse we have? Now, sometimes we have a spouse, and God might not necessarily have given that particular individual to us, but I'm talking about when God has given the spouse to us. Are we really thankful for that? Notice in Proverbs chapter 18. Proverbs chapter 18. Of course, there's a lot of scriptures in the book of Proverbs where the opposite is mentioned too. Better to be, you know, far away in the desert then, you know that. But here in Proverbs 18 and verse 22, here we're talking about the good situation. It says, he who finds a wife, and we're talking about a good wife, obviously. He who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. Chapter 19, verse 14. Houses and riches are an inheritance from fathers, but a prudent wife is from the Lord. And I mean, I have been married a few years, and even though, of course, sometimes, you know, in certain difficult situations, we might perhaps even yell at each other. It may happen, could happen. But I'm very thankful for my wife. I can honestly say that. And I believe my wife is thankful for me. Hopefully that's true. I'll find out later. And I'm sure that's true for you all who are sitting here, all who are listening in. But sometimes we got to thank by showing thankfulness. And that's sometimes difficult for specifically men, perhaps. But that's something we must do. And then we have another interesting passage, and of course that's a difficult one, specifically in this day and age. And sometimes we struggle with that one for sure. But in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1. Therefore I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. I mean for that neighbor of mine who keeps me awake early in the morning when he smokes marijuana and have to smell that stuff, or when he is on the phone in the front yard right next to our sleeping room. I'm not kidding, that's happening. Giving thanks for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior. And here is the reason. Here's the reason. Who desires all men to be saved, even those bad guys, right? Even those who at this point don't really live this way of life we would like them to live. But God desires them to be saved as well and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, when it comes to thanking kings and those in rule or in a rulership position, here is the reason that we may lead a quiet life and a peaceful life. And others sentences have it and statements have it, so that we can preach the gospel, that we can do the work of God. We most certainly are not to thank God for the fact that these evil people do all kinds of evil things to others. That's not what we're talking about. But we are talking about the fact that we should thank God that he allows his rulers to leave us alone, that we can do the work of God. It says that God has made all men, even the bad ones, the wicked ones, for the day of wrath. When it comes to ingratitude, we have to admit there is little gratitude in this world. As the saying goes, ingratitude is the reward of this world. A German proverb says, gratitude is few and far between. Ingratitude is always a weakness. The Talmud actually says ingratitude is worse than theft, because the idea seems to be we owe it others to be thankful. Notice 2 Timothy chapter 3 and notice how this world is being described, the world we are living in today. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1. But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful. Notice how these two statements are put together. We have read about being thankful to parents. Here we have disobedient to parents, unthankful. And that then leads to being unholy, being unloving, being unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, and from such people turn away. This is the description of the world we are living in today. People are unloving, they are ungrateful, they are disobedient to parents. Romans chapter 1 and verse 21. Romans 1 and verse 21. Here we're talking about people who knew God, knew at least something about God. And Paul is saying, although they knew God, they didn't glorify him as God, nor were thankful. But they became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Now he's talking about ancient philosophers. The ancient philosophers did know God to an extent, but didn't give him thanks at all. And the consequence was that they ultimately totally rejected God. And that can be true for all of us today. If we don't thank God for what he does for us, we may come to that point too, that we completely and totally reject him. In verse 30, we read what the outcome was of that kind of an attitude. They became backbiters. They became haters of God. They were unloving at one time, and now they became haters of God. They hated everything God stood for. They were violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things. Again, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful. That's a time, at the time when Paul wrote these things, that was already true, and it's true today. Disobedient to parents, unloving, unmerciful, and many other things. There is a very interesting parallel to that, an episode which took place at the time of Christ in Luke chapter 17, when Christ helped people. And notice how they reacted. Luke 17, beginning in verse 11. Now it happened, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. So when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourselves to the priests. And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned, and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And so Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? He healed them all. Only one, and even a foreigner, a Samaritan, who was being looked upon as a dog by the Jews at the time, only he came back to thank Christ for what he had done. The others were also healed. Nobody felt it necessary to go back and thank God for it. Now, Christ certainly knew in advance that the 9 would not thank him, because God knows the hearts. And yet he healed them nevertheless. But the question I want to ask is, do we thank God? I mean, literally, thank him when he heals us. Many times we get prayer requests asking God to heal somebody. We never hear anything further. Well, did God do it? What happened to the person? Do we thank God when he heals us, when he does something good for us in some other way? Psalm 119 and verse 21. Psalm 118 and verse 21. I will praise you, or I will thank you, as I said, it's the same words. I will thank you, for you have answered me and have become my salvation, my help. So here, very clearly, we thank God when God does something for us. We ask him for healing, he heals us, we thank God. We let others know, especially when we are the ones who have asked for prayers by the brethren. God healed, in this case Christ, the 9 of whom he knew that they wouldn't thank him, that they would be unthankful. But that's how God is. Notice Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6 and verse 35. This is what Christ tells us, because we are supposed to become what God is in our character development. Love your enemies. Do good. Lend, hoping for nothing in return. And your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the unthankful and the evil. Are we kind to the unthankful and the evil? Notice Matthew chapter 5 and verse 45. Matthew 5 and verse 45. Pray for those who curse you, and so on. Verse 45, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. That is God's character, because he wants everyone ultimately to be saved. And then we read throughout the ages how God acted towards the people in Acts chapter 14. Acts chapter 14, beginning in verse 15. Here the apostles Barnabas and Paul said, "Men, why are you doing these things?" See, they wanted to worship them. "We are also men with the same nature as you and preach to you that you should turn from these useless things to the living God, who made the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all things that are in them, who in bygone generations allowed all nations to walk in their own ways. Nevertheless, he did not leave himself without witness, in that he did good, gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness." That's what God did, even though the people were not showing thankfulness at all. And so Christ is expecting the same of us. Yes, we should most certainly be thankful for those who give us thanks, but we should also do good to those who may not give us thanks. Not yet. Maybe later they will. But that must never be our motivation to begin with. We have to be thankful people. We have to express thankfulness in and for everything, how difficult that sometimes may be. And so, again, a quote in conclusion from the Arbeits ABC, the Work ABC. They said this very succinctly and very clearly and very correctly. "So stop looking left and right and stop grieving that your neighbor is richer, that your colleague is more successful, that your best friend is prettier than you. Be grateful for the positive things in your life, and you will attract even more positive things. This is the unwritten law of self-fulfilling prophecy. So what does gratitude do? A lot, and only what is good. So I thank you for your attention, and I wish you a great evening and a beautiful and revealing and absolutely amazing Feast of Tabernacles. Enjoy it with all your heart."